A short verse from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Lest we lull ourselves into a sense of complacency, these gifts we share, the blessings we have, come to us from one who paid a hefty price for our sake and for our salvation. Have no illusions. On the subject of which, it's parlor trick day. I have money now. We're Presbyterians. I have a quarter that I would like to give to my friend Victor. Victor needs a quarter. I'm going to mark this with your initial. That's a quarter. That's Victor's quarter. Okay? Hang on to that for a second, will you? Dollar bill. I'm going to wrap up the dollar bill and make a safe place for Victor's quarter. Fair enough? Make a place there. Put that quarter right in there. Stuck in there nice and safe. In there? Can you feel it? You like it in there? Okay. Quarter's in there. Now we got a problem. Because we are Presbyterians, we do not waste money. We need to find the quarter. Jeannie, there's a hymnal on the end of your row that looks like it's got a bookmark in it. At the very end. Pass that to Peggy. What does the bookmark say? The bookmark at the top?
Look in here.
Look in here. So look in there. What's in there?
There's a quarter with a V on.
There's a quarter with a V on. How did I know to look there? Tell me when to stop. Somebody say stop. Three. Let's do it again. Tell me when to stop. Stop. Eight. One more time. What page was it on? 385. You know what you need to know? It was all a trick. It was an illusion. It was an absolute illusion. And I'm going to show you how it worked. This violates the code. I started out by lying to you. I said I have a dollar bill. I actually have $2 bills. They're glued together. And there's a safe little place right in here where Victor dropped the quarter. And of course, when it's in there like that, it's just disappeared. When I told you I shuffled the cards, I wasn't shuffling the cards. I was shuffling all but the last two or three. And when you said stop, I just raised the bottom card, one in sequence, 385. As it turns out, Peggy has Victor's quarter, but Victor has Victor's quarter too. And doesn't it stink now that you know the trick? It's all deception. It's based on lies. It's an illusion. Which is to suggest that a lot of the time we live in a world that is not what it appears. Things are spun, projected, shown to appear one way and not another. Listen to the political speeches and the advertisements between now and Tuesday's primary, and you get an example of that. That's bad news in a way that we can be deceived. It's also good news in that when things start going south, they may not be as they appear either. There's a Jewish legend that goes like this. We walk through our lives with hands in both pockets, and in our pockets, one each, is a stone on which is engraved in one hand, the world was created especially for me. On the other, I am but dust and ashes. Both are true at the same time, and neither predominate. We are in the middle all the time of the world is mine, and I am but dust and ashes. Lent gives us a chance to reflect on what it means to be in between what appear to be extremes. The stories of Jesus' life that are told in Lent are designed, I think, to dispel the illusion that all is well or that all is bleak. It is rather both and Jesus is experiencing it with us. I took a look at some of the lectionary stories that are read in churches typically during the Lenten season. One of the most common is Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, experiences 40 days and 40 nights of deprivation, a pretty lousy experience, but finds himself sustained and supported and ministered to by angels to see him through. The woman at the well story. Jesus encounters a woman who has several secrets, and he reveals them to her and to everybody else, parlor trick fashion. And he's accused of consorting with a woman of ill repute. She turns into a follower and disciple. He winds up with something of a bad rap, both and. He also heals a woman on the Sabbath, a woman who's been infirm for many years, and her life changes forever in that she's healed. He gets accused of working on the Sabbath. He drives out the money changers in the temple, creating no end of social and political havoc, and yet the story is referred to as the cleansing of the temple. Jesus spends his life walking with us between what often appears to be the case. When things are most bleak, the light begins to shine, and so on. The Latin term for this sentiment is ex malo bonum, from bad comes good. And I think we're tempted to sort of carry a caricature of that sentiment with us. And we may even, in a platitudinous sort of way, tell someone in the midst of deep trouble that there will be some good from this. Well, there's at least a half a chance that the kind of trouble that we experience, especially in the losses we have, the difficulties we encounter, the illnesses that strike us down, there may not be a good ending to that story. But in the midst of even what's troublesome, good can be done. Good can be done. Nothing stops us other than ourselves from recognizing that even on the bleakest times and moments of our lives, that's not all there is. It may be all there is relative to an illness or the loss of a loved one, but it's not all there is to life. And if Jesus' story in Lent tells us nothing else, it tells us that in the midst of the bleak, good can happen. The temple can be cleansed. The woman is healed. Angels come and minister. And we call that the people with whom we share this good life. Have no illusions, one way or the other. You were bought with a price. We are going to experience in just a minute what we call Holy Communion. A sense of goodness and oneness that comes very literally from the broken body and shed blood of our Lord. And that word body is used in interesting ways throughout the course of the New Testament. Paul calls us the body of Christ and refers to it as the church. He gives us in this text a marching order. Glorify God with your body. Even in the midst of what seems oppressively gloomy, there are services to be done. There are stories to be told. There are random acts of kindness to be performed that if you do it, you feel strengthened. It's sort of parlor trick week for me. You might have noticed that. Jeannie asked me to come up with some things to bring smiles to the faces of children. You can pull parlor tricks on 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds, seemingly safely. Seemingly. Because when I did a couple of these tricks in school last Thursday, Before I even got started, one of the kids went, "It's a fake. It's all a fake." And of course it is. But even if you know that, there's a smile at the end of the day. Jewish social tradition calls these things mitzvahs. Little, small, random acts of kindness that do not fully illuminate and wipe away the dreariness and the gloom that comes with some of the things we can experience. But have no illusions. Things are not always as they appear, because, and finally, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. And it was a terrible story and a bleak, dark day. But the punchline to that story is that you were worth it. You were bought with a price, and you're worth it. On your worst day, a day made worse by your own behavior, you're still worth it. Have no illusions. That's real. Amen.